top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens. Local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
This is the Prime Evening News for today, Thursday, April 4th, 2024, in the headlines. Dominica Jazz and Creole Festival headline acts Lily Octave and Michelle Henderson extend invitations to festival goers to visit Dominica and attend fringe events as well as the main festival.
Right on cue.
Antiguan marine ecologist Ruelo Camacho cautions that sargassum seaweed sightings via satellite imagery are on the rise in the Caribbean region, with strong indications of this trend continuing. And Uganda's Constitutional Court on Wednesday declined to nullify or suspend an anti-LGBTQ law, which includes the death penalty for specific same-sex acts. Details coming up next.
95DA.com. Right on cue.
Speaking at the Jazz and Creole press briefing on April 4th, 2024 at the Discover Dominica Authority Conference Room, artists Lily Octave and Michael Henderson invited Dominicans and visitors to attend the Jazz Fringe events as well as Jazz and Creole Music Festival on May 5th, 2024 at the Cabrits National Park in Portsmouth. Lily Octave said she is thrilled and ready for her performance at the upcoming festival.
Good morning, everybody. And I'd like to say thank you, first of all, to Dominica Festival's committee for having me. It's a pleasure. This is one of the biggest stages locally for artists in my genre. And I appreciate and kudos to you all for giving me the opportunity. It's been quite the journey. And I would like to thank my fans as well for giving me the opportunity. It's been their support that has gotten me this. And we've been doing some work creating music, so there's a lot of original content that you will be seeing for the jazz season. We're going to be presenting also, firstly, and I would like to say thank you to Intercontinental, that's Dominica Cabrits Resort and Spa at Portsmouth, Bell Hall, who are giving me the opportunity to have my first free event. So there you can come and attend and get a taste of Lily before we head to the big stage for Jazz and Creole all to showcase everything local that we have. That's definitely the place to be, and we look forward to seeing you there.
Michael Henderson said, and I quote, "She is here for all that Jazz and Creole has to offer," close quote. She also expressed thanks to the sponsors and expected patrons coming to the event.
I just want to make the comment that this particular festival, the inception of this festival was particularly to introduce a caliber of musicianship that wasn't necessarily here in the Dominican space. We do have musicians that are experts, but they weren't showcased at that level. And so the festival was designed specifically to do that and to also introduce younger musicians and inspire other musicians to that level of musicianship. And so it warms my heart when I see Lily, you know, when I see other artists, I saw Tasha and Stasha, and I look at these young women and they've been able to broaden their horizons and they've been able to be granted space to do that. And that's what this festival has done and continues to do. And I'm very proud to be part of that legacy. And the idea is to continue doing that and to elevate the experience, you know, and I'm in for all of it. I know people talk about I love the fashion. I love the food. I love the music. I love the people. So I'm there. I'm here for all of it. And come May 5th, we are going to do what we normally do. We light up the stage. We excite the audience. We introduce them to music at a level that probably they're not customary to listening to. And we like that. That's what we do as artists. We raise people up, you know, from the drudgery of the world. And so I want to encourage you to attend. Dress nice, please.
And that was artists Lily Octave and Michael Henderson. According to the Guardian news agency, Donald Trump's social media company, Trump Media, managed to go public last week, only after being kept afloat in 2022 by emergency loans provided in part through a Russian-American businessman who is under scrutiny in a federal insider trading and money laundering investigation. But Trump media almost didn't make it to the merger in which ES Family Trust has an interest after regulators opened the securities investigation into the merger in 2021 and caused the company to burn cash at an extraordinary rate as it is awaited to get the green light for its stock market debut. The situation led Trump media to take emergency loans, including from ES Family Trust, which opened an account with Paxson Bank, a small bank registered in Dominica that is allegedly best known for providing financial services to the porn industry. Through leaked documents, The Guardian learned that ES Family Trust operated like a shell company for a Russian-American businessman named Anton Ponlonskin, who co-owns Paxson Bank and has been the subject of a years-long joint federal criminal investigation by the FBI and the Department of Homeland Security, DHS, into the Trump media merger. While addressing listeners on Q95 FM Radio on April 3rd, United Workers Party President Lennox Linton revealed some of the main actors involved in the shady scheme.
At least part of the evidence against Schwarzman came from a confidential informant for the Department of Homeland Security, according to court filings. In one March 2023 meeting with the informant and an associate, Schwarzman mentioned a friend who owned a bank in Dominica and made bridge loans to Trump media. Schwarzman stated that a friend of his owns a bank in the island of Dominica and would be able to provide banking services to Russian and Ukraine nationals if the confidential informant had other clients in need of that service. Schwarzman's associate told the confidential informant that he does not think the SEC would be able to go after Schwarzman for his part in the investment, but mentioned that Schwarzman essentially provided bridge financing for the firm behind the Truth social media platform. The investigation into potential money laundering appears to have started after Wilkerson's lawyers, Phil Brewster, Stephen Bail, and Patrick Mincy, alerted the U.S. Attorney's Office in the Southern District of New York to the E-Family Trust loans in October of 2022. Months later, in June 2023, the FBI expanded its investigations to work jointly with the Department of Homeland Security's El Dorado Task Force, which specializes in money laundering, and its illicit proceeds and foreign corruption group, which targets corrupt foreign officials who use U.S. entities to launder illicit funds.
Mr. Linton refers to this investigation and Dominica's involvement in this financial scheme as an interesting bowl of spaghetti.
Story from The Guardian about the Trump media, the Truth Social platform, which went public last week, and the financing that came to Trump media from an offshore bank operating in Dominica via a trust that had an account in the bank, and the owner of the bank and his connections and investigations of him, etc., etc. Pretty interesting little bowl of spaghetti there in the international community, but the name Dominique, of course, finding its way in there again. Somewhere I heard that it was Dominican people who washing Dominica's dirty linen in public when they raise concerns about the governance of the country, concerns about the way the country is being run. They're washing dirty linen in the public, and one wonders what happens now with all these exposés and disclosures.
United Workers Party President Lennox Linton. Safeguard specialist at the Project Implementation Unit of the Ministry of Agriculture, Kamasha Sylvester, shed light on the application process for the newly rolled out agro-processing post-harvest contingency emergency response component grant. According to Sylvester, interested individuals in Dominica will be required to submit their applications by April 17 for 2024, following specific guidelines outlined by the ministry.
I'm going to elaborate on the sequence of steps or actions from start to finish for these components. They are as follows. Step 1. Applicants will be able to express their interest online for a period of 2 weeks from today, April the 3rd, April 17th, 2024. For applications to be successful, the supporting documents must also be submitted electronically. These documents include, but are not limited to, a valid national ID, proof of business registration, a valid food handler's permit, proof of business income for the last 3 months, and a sample of the product. Applications must be submitted prior to or on the deadline of April 17, 2024 at 11:59 p.m. A database will be created to document all applications received and then reviewed. Applications will be given a small window to submit all documents. Closure for receipt of all supporting documents, May 1st, 2024.
Sylvester elaborated on the additional steps applicants must undertake when completing their applications, which encompasses verification procedures and undergoing assessments by a varied panel comprising the evaluation committee.
Step 3. The verification process involves analyzing information received from the applications and may be supported by a site visit. Step 4. A technical evaluation committee, which comprises of representatives from the Environmental Health Department, who will be responsible for ensuring that food is prepared in a safe environment. The Bureau of Standards, who will be responsible for monitoring good manufacturing practices and operation safety. The produce chemist, who will be responsible for vetting equipment needs and standard operating procedures of agroprocessors, and the PIU, who will be in charge of administrative work. This technical committee will assess the applications to ensure compliance with the selection criteria and be responsible for the approval of shortlisted applicants. Step 5. Approved beneficiaries will be contacted via email or telephone by the PIU. Step 6. We have the process for the procurement of requested equipment. Step 7. Materials and equipment will be provided via a voucher system, and beneficiaries will be enrolled in a necessary training program. Final step, upon receipt of equipment, the beneficiary is furnished with a delivery note.
And that was Kamasha Sylvester, Safeguard Specialist at the Project Implementation Unit of the Ministry of Agriculture. During the 43rd special meeting of the Council of Human and Social Development Health, held virtually on Thursday, 28th March, CARICOM health ministers collectively backed the proposed Caribbean Moves CM framework and implementation plan. This landmark decision was reached following a comprehensive presentation by Dr. Joyce St. John, Executive Director of the Caribbean Public Health Agency, CARPA, highlighting the initiative's significance. The endorsement of the CM initiative by the regional governance structure is pivotal for its successes, and it will facilitate strategic partnerships for financing and sustainability. CM aims to significantly reduce the burden of non-communicable diseases in the Caribbean region, aligning with the World Health Organization's strategies for NCD prevention. Chair Honorable Dr. Cassandra Williams, Minister of State in the Ministry of Health, Wellness and Social Services, Dominica, emphasized the importance of the CM framework, particularly its focus on promoting physical activity to combat NCDs. She commended CARPA for its efforts in advancing health initiatives in the Caribbean region. President of the Dominica Public Service Union, Steve Joseph, has expressed the view that many people are unaware of the clarity surrounding the union's mission and objectives, which were established by its executive. He strongly asserts that the union's membership locks to the executive for leadership, but they are encountering obstacles that hinder their ability to effectively carry out their duties and accomplish tasks in a peaceful manner.
I think people understand that we're clear what we're about as a union executive, and we tell people the union is the membership. The union is the membership. We provide the leadership. We did all the research. We developed the proposals. We followed the constitution and our process by meeting our members. What we are not being allowed is to do so in peace, is to do so, you know, ensuring that we are protected by the constitution and the laws of Dominica. Mm-hmm. Since when people cannot gather in the country for a peaceful meeting? What is going on? And we have to take this thing seriously, because if a union now is under scrutiny, to the point where we have people trying to infiltrate our private meeting. And the union is a card-holding organization, you know. We can institute measures for people to enter into our meetings, you know. Because every member of the PSU supposed to have that blue ID card that we issue them, all right?
Joseph suggests that the union could implement measures to ensure that only card-holding members attend its meeting. He emphasized the importance of the role of the police in safeguarding and serving the wider community.
So we can institute measures to ensure those who come through our doors are actually card-holding members. You understand? But we want to send the call. The police should be there to protect us, to serve us. To promote peace, to promote law and order, all right? And should not be caught up in any political machinations. And I trust that tonight that we focused on that so that I can send a clear message to the powers that be that it's time to try to fix that element within the police force that gives it a very negative image.
And that was Dominica Public Service Union President Steve Joseph. The devastating effects of a tropical storm Erica in 2015 led to the displacement of most residents of Petit Savan and the destruction of the road, which linked the community of Delices. Following the disaster, the government of Dominica gave the assurance that Petit Savan residents would be relocated and the access route to Delices and other southeast communities would be re-established. In the first phase, the resettlement of the Petit Savan community in Belfi Chopin was prioritized with the construction of 353 housing units completed in 2019, funded under the Citizenship by Investment Program. However, the government of Dominica elected to delay the reconnection of Petit Savan and the Delices based on the advice of engineers that it was prudent to allow sufficient time for the affected areas to naturally stabilize and be monitored. Minister of State in the Ministry of Agriculture, Fisheries, Blue and Green Economy, with specific responsibility for fisheries and blue economy, Julian Defo, told media today, notwithstanding this delay, the government is fully aware of the inconveniences in transportation and access caused by the damaged road and remains committed to the reconstruction of Delices to Petit Savan Road.
The government stays true to its commitment to the people of Petit Savan and Lapland constituencies, being fully aware of the inconveniences in transportation and access caused by the damaged road. To reinforce government's commitment, the Prime Minister, the Honorable Ruth Velskerit, the respective parliamentary representative, interest groups, and residents from both constituencies conducted a site visit on January 21st, 2023, holding discussions with stakeholders to chart a way forward. To date, several initiatives have been undertaken with the goal of reconnecting the communities, including road clearing costing $2.6 million and construction of the Bagatelle Bridge at a cost of $2.5 million. The parliamentary representative have recently expedited efforts to restore access, having conducted a site visit on March 19, 2024, accompanied by engineers and residents of both communities. A follow-up visit is scheduled for April 4, 2024 to finalize logistical and other matters. Thereafter, constituents will see mobilization for the construction of the crossing to create vehicle access to Delices through Petit Savan. We thank the people of the Petit Savan and Delices constituencies and neighboring communities also for their patience and seek their cooperation in our ongoing effort to address this matter.
And that was Minister of State in the Ministry of Agriculture, Fisheries, Blue and Green Economy, Julian Defo. Leader of the Dominica Freedom Party, Bernard Ito, says the justice system in Dominica is broken, emphasizing that too many cases are not concluded in a timely manner. Ito announced that the Dominica Freedom Party will initiate a campaign in support of the statement made by His Lordship Justice Colin Williams about the inefficiencies in the justice system here at the end of the ACES in September 2023 and on March 14, 2024. The Dominica Bar Association also publicly supported the sentiments of Justice Williams on April 2, 2024, demanding improvements to be made to the system for a more reliable judiciary body.
Justice Williams is saying, listen, we can't have a system where it's taking years for the basics to be done. We can't have a system where it's taking years just for the police to put together a case file and present it to a magistrate who then has to go through the evidence and the witnesses who are brought to him and make a determination if that person needs to be charged and sent a case needs to be sent up to the high courts. That system is typically, he's saying, should typically take about a year. But in Dominica, we're talking decades in some instances. And so to him, that situation is completely untenable. We're also talking about the situation where the number of people on remand is extremely high. People are waiting years without trial. That is a gross violation of justice denied. Justice delayed is justice denied. These people's constitutional rights are being violated. How can we sit in Dominica where so many of this, our citizens' constitutional rights are being violated and not raise an uproar about this? And so starting today, the DFP is really getting engaged on this issue to say that we must have a functioning justice system in Dominica, and the issues that were raised by Justice Williams must be addressed. We must sit down as a society and brainstorm solutions and bring this all to the public and get the public themselves to be engaged in the process.
Leader of the Dominica Freedom Party, Bernard Ito. In other news, Antiguan marine ecologist Ruelo Camacho alerts that the growing presence of sargassum seaweed in the Caribbean, with indications of this trend continuing. Camacho's report covering the first quarter of the year cites data from the University of South Florida Optical Oceanography Lab, which monitors sargassum blooms via satellite imagery. Their findings revealed a rise to 9 million metric tons in February, the second highest amount recorded. However, March saw a decrease in around 6.5 million metric tons, potentially influenced by cloud cover in the western Atlantic, affecting estimation accuracy. Despite this decline from February, which echoes patterns from 2018's records, sargassum levels, Camacho notes that March 2024's observed amount surpasses 75% of all previous years. This signals a worsening and more frequent presence of sargassum in the region. Camacho emphasized the ongoing impact of the Eastern Caribbean due to significant sargassum amounts in the Atlantic and its westward drift. He urges proactive, non-destructive mitigation strategies by stakeholders to address the issue. While efforts are underway, Camacho cautions that without effective practices to minimize sargassum's harm, both the environment and human well-being will continue to suffer. And Uganda's Constitutional Court refused on Wednesday to annul or suspend an anti-LGBTQ law that includes the death penalty for certain same-sex acts, but voided some provisions that it said were inconsistent with certain fundamental human rights. The legislation adopted in May last year is among the world's harshest anti-gay laws and has drawn condemnation from rights campaigners and sanctions from the Western nation.
Uganda's Constitutional Court on Wednesday upheld one of the harshest anti-LGBTQ laws in the world. However, it struck down certain provisions it said were inconsistent with fundamental human rights. Anti-Homosexuality Act, citizens had an obligation to report anyone they suspected of engaging in homosexuality. The court found that this requirement violated individual rights. Petition lawyer Nicholas Opio.
The court today decided that it is legal and lawful to discriminate against LGBTI people. The court today decided that it is legal to exclude the LGBTI community from participating in the affairs of their country, simply on the basis of public sentiments and alleged cultural values. I think it's sad that the court could play to public sentiments and not apply the law. To that extent, I think the court is wrong.
The legislation, adopted in May last year, is among the world's harshest anti-gay laws. It imposes penalties of up to life imprisonment for consensual same-sex relations, and it contains provisions that make so-called aggravated homosexuality an offense punishable by death. Activists say the law has unleashed a torrent of abuse against LGBTQ people, including torture, rape, arrest and eviction. Activist Eric Ndawula.
The ruling today was disappointing, that is for sure. But it does not make us lose hope. It actually puts us in more energy to ensure that we actually go to the Supreme Court to be able to appeal on what has happened today, because what has happened today is an injustice.
The legislation has been condemned by rights campaigners, and the country has received sanctions from Western nations. The ruling is part of a growing anti-gay crackdown across Africa.
That's the Prime Evening News, and here's a recap of the headlines. Dominica Jazz and Creole Festival headline acts Lily Octave and Mikael Henderson send invitations to festival goers to visit Dominica and attend the fringe events as well as the main festival.
Q95D.
Antiguan marine ecologist Ruelo Camucho cautions that sargassum seaweed sightings via satellite imagery are on the rise in the Caribbean region, with strong indication of this trend continuing. And Uganda's Constitutional Court on Wednesday declined to nullify or suspend an anti-LGBTQ law, which includes the death penalty for specific same-sex acts. I've been your presenter, Felix Valman.
Q, top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global, only on Q95.